foundation of the project, where it all came from, the whys and the hows.
Okay, thank you, Cameron, and thank you for setting the stage. People who know me know I'm really focused on the future and having the project have impacts that will continue on over the years, hence the title. And the outline is we're going to talk about the breeding challenges that we face at the start of the project, some of the strategies we use to approach it, and outcomes and impacts. So first of all, the Rosaceae is a very diverse family of fruit and nut and ornamental crops. And many of the members are tree crops, where it takes a long time. The generation is a long time. There's large land use involved, and field maintenance is very expensive. So we were getting together as a community in the early 2000s, and genome sequences were available for peach and diploid strawberry and apple in 2010. But there was a real dichotomy because many QTLs published, but there was a massive gap between genomics knowledge and breeding application. At the same time, the federal funding agencies were really interested in helping communities bridge that gap between genomics knowledge and breeding application, and these were called translational genomics projects. So Rosebreed was essentially one of those translational genomics projects. It's called Enabling Marker-Assisted Breeding in Rosaceae. As Cameron mentioned, we're ending the second of two projects. The first one focused on the obvious, tangible fruit quality. And the second one focused on disease resistance, because the industry really needs disease resistance, and this is one thing that has been a real challenge for us in fruit crops, because it remains elusive. It's hard to find an apple that's got all the disease resistances you need, for example. So Rosebreed 2 addressed that need. We had been working on horticultural quality with the fruit, and it was combining disease resistance with this horticultural quality. And just to show you the institutions, U.S. institutions, the green are the team leaders, and we've relied on the team leaders a lot in the project. They deserve a lot of credit, and they're going to be a lot of the lineup today. So one thing about Rosebreed that made it work was we were able to do more together than individually. And this was because of some common strategies that worked across the crops. So we were better together. And a lot of that was fostering a community. A lot of rosaceous crop breeders work on multiple crops. Stakeholders and scientists, and we were very focused on training the next generations of plant breeding, a recurring theme. So we are a CAP project, and we try to involve breeders and industry members from all the major production regions in the U.S. The project was a long-term project, so I have to click in a second picture of all the breeders who retired and were replaced during the length of our project. Okay. We also, this is a slide of the community breeders, hunkered down a lot of them in California, but we were also very focused on knowing who our breeding clientele was. And then our international collaborators, a big shout out. We couldn't have done it without them. One of the common strategies in Rosebreed was to develop and share tools for genetic discovery. And you'll hear some of those today. Key in that was genome-wide SNP genotyping arrays. We had the sequences, but we couldn't do genome scans at the start of the project. crop-specific phenotyping protocols, statistical strategies tailored for heterozygous outcrossing crops. This was a major thing that held us together. And if you haven't looked at some of the literature from our project on pedigree-based analysis or some of the software, this is an image made of PediMap showing the IBD for an important QTL region in sweet cherry. It's really worth looking at. This was something that we had in common, this strategy. Then we were also very focused on translating discoveries into breeding application, and the jewel in the genome analogy really served us well. When we started the project, there was a lot of low-hanging fruit, the major loci. We knew the red color was MIB-10, but, you know, did you have a marker for it? So there was a lot of polishing and even putting into application that Rose Reed was very focused on. So what we want to do in this workshop today is to showcase some of the outcomes and impacts, and we're going to start off with trait prioritization, keeping your eye on the ball, data archiving, make sure that we've organized our data moving forward, the genome scans, that genetic data. People are going to want to go back to use that. And then give you some examples of successive DNA-informed breeding with pre-breeding, with an example from disease resistance, parent selection and cross-planning, with an example from apple breeding, genome-wide selection, going gangbusters with strawberry breeding, combining superior fruit quality and disease resistance, accomplished, Ksenia's going to talk about some of that, and sustaining success beyond the life of the project.